everyone. Welcome to worship. We're going to start out this morning with a song that we have done quite often. It's called Hosanna, Praise is Rising. So let's just enter his gates with thanksgiving and sing to our God, Hosanna. He is the God that saves us and the one who is worthy of our praises.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you. When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all.
Yeah. welcome you here, Lord Jesus, once more. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Good morning, Aldersgate Church. We're gathered, as always, in the name of Jesus and by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit as we worship this day. If you're a guest among us, we offer a word of a special greeting and welcome to you. We are privileged to celebrate and participate in the baptism of Paxton Van Dibler this morning. Parents Jen and John and older sister Addie are regular worshipers here at 9:30, and we rejoice in that. As part of the baptism during this service, we will combine the prayer and the offering times together. And I just want to give you a heads up on the prayer shawls, prayer blankets that are up there this morning. One is for Linda, who is grieving the death of her husband, Ron. And then there are four others for the Akey family. If you're part of our Aldersgate e-news alert, you are aware that Rebecca Akey, the oldest daughter, Carl's oldest daughter, died a week ago Thursday as part of the heroin opioid epidemic. We've been saying that it would just be a matter of time until it comes and strikes within the church body. If you haven't experienced anyone or any household with that in your circles, your neighborhoods, your families, your workplaces, the scary thing is it's just a matter of time because of the way this epidemic continues to escalate until we all can get ahead of it. And our prayers and our love and the unrelenting reach of Jesus go out to this family. The one blanket is for Carl and Melody as mom and dad. Matthew, receive a blanket. Samantha, the middle sister, and then Sarah, 7-year-old youngest sister. Sarah was baptized here about 6.5 years ago, and the Akeys have been part of Aldersgate for a while. So we lift that up and invite you, as the offering plates do go around and pass by you, you're welcome to come up to the kneelers and pray over those. Just a reminder, too, that the website contains the video seminars that we did on heroin opioid addiction, and also our What's Up Wednesday studies. We have a 4-week committed study time this beginning in September. Please don't think that it's an issue beyond you. It's an issue for all of us to be educated about. I certainly was very ignorant of what was going on, and those seminars helped arm me with information to at least hopefully be a better vessel for Jesus in this day-to-day world. So with that, a somber note, but a note of celebration of God's grip of grace upon Rebecca in and through the hell that has been her addiction. Let us rise as Abel and turn our thoughts and our focus toward the God who indeed saves us, and lift our voices.
Let's stand together. I want to read to you Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We're going to sing together the hymn, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Someone just said to me, well, that has a bit of a different twist on it. It does. We do it a little bit different than the typical hymn, but you'll catch one. So let's just lift our voices together and praise him. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near. Praise him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth, shelters the wings, yea, so Hallelujah, Father. We lift our voices to you this morning in praise and gratitude for all that you are and all that you do. Father, as we move through this time of worship together, I pray that you would help us to see you more clearly, that you would use the music as we sing to break down the walls that we build up around our hearts. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would be known in this place by all who enter today, that there would be no doubt that you are the reason that we do what we do as we worship. Keep the praise team out of the way so that your people would see through us as we sing, see to the cross, see that you are the God who saves us, the one who provides for each person that comes to him. We love you, God, and we're so grateful to be able to worship you. It's in your name that we pray these things. Amen.
There's nothing worthwhile that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. Your of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are well. Your glory. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated.
Would you two help hand these out? Maybe one go to the far side, one the middle side here. Dennis and Bonnie, could you help hand these out?
Sure.
One to this side and one here. Could do this. We have a ministry moment. There are going to be baskets come around that will... For the message this week and next, I'd like you to take a teaching form or a discipline form as you take it home. But we have ministry moment this morning on women's ministry and men's ministry activities as we move into the busyness of the fall season. So I invite Todd Kressler, and I'm not sure who's doing the moment for the ladies. Anyone?
Stephanie.
Come on up. So if you'll turn your attention as you're receiving those and receive this on from the women's and ministry, men's and women's ministry. Come on up together. Yeah, there you go.
Good morning, church. Can everybody hear me? I guess so. The women's ministry moment, all of these are on the blue insert in your bulletin. And I will start by talking about the Bible studies that we have. And if you've never taken a Bible study before, I just encourage you to consider it. I know that when I first, before I joined the church, and I guess I still am, I was raised Catholic. And if somebody like me can do a Bible study, and as long as somebody would show me where the books were in the Bible, because I never learned that, and Catholics usually don't. So there are always people to do that, and it's really enjoyable way to get to know the Bible better and get to know some other people better as well. The first study is on Monday evenings. There's a 5-week study, and it's called I Know His Name, Discovering the Power in the Names of God, and that one meets every other Monday at 7 and starts September 18th. The Tuesday morning, Girlfriends and God are the ones I've always participated in. There's three of them this fall. And to learn more about each of the studies, there's a brunch on September 12th, starts at 9:15. And we just invite you to come and learn more about the studies, and you can sign up then, and we can get books ordered for you. And then the studies themselves actually start September 19th. And they, as I said, there's three studies this time. The Promised One, which is a 10-week study. There's one called Encouraging One Another, which is the one I'm privileged to be co-facilitating with Cindy Sollenberger. That one we have no videos, but it's just a lot of interaction and encouraging one another, as it says. And the last one is the Daniel Plan, 40 Days to a Healthier Life, and that's a 6-week study. And then the What's Up Wednesday, of course, there's always a Bible study after the dinner. It starts September 13th for 10 weeks, and that's a Beth Moore study called Believing in God. And so, as I said, we really invite you and encourage you to, you know, enjoy one of the Bible studies. They are really... I've met a lot of people through them, and they've been really wonderful. Other ways to get involved are with the Sunday Sisters, and the offerings they have. There's the Veterans Cafe, which is being held here on, I think it's September 23rd, I believe. The date's not here. I think it's Saturday the 23rd. There's a Ladies Christmas Brunch, which is November 4th. And it's for all women of the church and the community, so come and bring a friend. That's another fun way to get involved. And you could also help with the Bethesda Women's and Children's Shelter Mission. As I said, all the information's on the blue insert in the bulletin, so you can find out more there, or check on aldersgatechurch.net for everything. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph.
Morning. Our men's ministry is here to help men discover God, connect with others, grow in relationship with Christ, and serve our world. And we welcome young and old, age-wise or spirituality-wise as well. And we really want to create a place where your opinions and your beliefs are valued, and where all your questions are invited. The insert that looks like this is what is available to men, and all these groups are really a time of a different type, not of corporate worship, but of worship to God together in smaller groups. There's no pressure to necessarily attend every single week. We have an open door policy. And we invite anybody, if you just want to check a specific group out, we welcome that. And there should be no a welcome for you there. To highlight a little bit of what's in here, Mondays, Carl Wagner is going to start a new Monday group at 4 o'clock and a Wednesday group at 6:30 with Operation Timothy, which is a series of three workbooks which guide men on becoming discipleship makers. And then Dennis is leading an Operation Timothy group on Fridays at 9 a.m. And the dates when they start will be happening in the next 2 weeks, actually. Really excited, Bill Brandemore is gonna be facilitating the book called The Masculine Mandate. It's a fantastic book that addresses questions about fatherhood, marriage, work, friendships, and our role as men in the church. And that'll be starting the 19th of September. I'm super psyched about facilitating the book called The Power of the Brain. And it's about connecting our brains with our hearts. And I think Craig Groeschel describes the book the best, which he says, God desires us to live in total freedom in Christ. Unfortunately, we can become chained by our destructive and unhealthy thoughts. The power of your brain takes you on a powerful spiritual journey to understand the importance and practical ways to renew your mind and live victoriously. Then we started a new group Thursday mornings, which we call Come As You Are Devotional Reading Time. Basically, guys arrive in the youth room by 7:15 in the morning. There'll be a cup of coffee and a small stack of devotional books ready for your enjoyment. The time includes 30 minutes of powerful readings, including a chapter out of the Bible from old writers to young writers of readings. And you will be basically on the road back to the to your office by 8 a.m., with a truly renewed perspective on the day, and open yourself to be truly available to God that day. And then Saturday mornings is a great group of guys, meet in youth room. They start out with scripture. The Holy Spirit pretty much takes over from there. And it's also an intentional time to pray together, to be in fellowship together. And every time I go Saturday mornings, I truly witness ironing, sharpening iron, and God creating an atmosphere of vulnerability for men's hearts. So we strive by God's grace to be a ministry of and for all men, and we invite you all to join us. And we're excited about what God is doing in the life of men. And as we always say, life is a team sport. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait over here a second, Todd. We we've been wanting to do this for a while. Todd has was facilitating much of the men's ministry activity here. He continues to be involved, but his passion and investment of energy and time, we didn't want that to go without being recognized and just a small token of appreciation for his just that passion and energy that he has poured into that the men's ministry here in recent years. So Todd, we offer this to you from God's heart through our hearts, thanking you for your heart.
Thank you.
It's your firm.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Yeah.
As we give God's tithes and our offerings, just a reminder that the Missions Corps here had approved a $5,000 gift that's already been issued for the flooding disaster relief in Southwest. United Methodist Committee on Relief, it's the church's universal or worldwide arm that engages very, very practically, healthily, and long-term. So we celebrate that. Those gifts were made possible through your tithes and offerings offered here. Just a reminder that as we receive the offering, you also are welcome to bring the prayer cards, the blue cards before you with requests, place them on the altar, and also to kneel over the blankets that I noted earlier for the individuals as noted.
We're going to sing a new song today, and this is based on Isaiah 12:2 and Psalm 91. It's called Your Love Defends.
You are my joy, you are my song, you are the well, the one I'm drawing from. You are my refuge, my whole life long. Where else would I go? Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me. Day after day, night after night, I will remember you're with me in this fight. Rages on, the war's already won. I know the war's already won. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone, your love defends me, your love defends me. Surely my God is the strength of my soul. Your love defends me, your love defends me. And when I feel like I'm all alone,
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your assertive, outpouring, intervening, intercessing love and power. We've seen it this week, Lord, through the emergency responders and through hundreds and hundreds, countless number of men and women and children that have intervened on behalf of others in the midst of the flooding crisis in the Southwest. We pray your protective hand on the emergency responders and your delivering hand upon each individual, regardless of their circumstance, whether they're a giver of gifts, a listener of woes, whether they're returning to their homes and finding things totally wiped out and ruined. Lord, we ask that you, the God who has been there through the ages, through the worst of the human condition and the biggest of storms and the deepest of chasms, that you are there in ways tangible, and that indeed you will unite people by the power of your love and the victorious promise of your resurrection. Lord, be with your church universal and begin that with us in these moments. As the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, let them be acceptable to you as an offering. For you are our rock and you are forever our only Redeemer. So we name it, we claim it, and now, Lord, we seek your work in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I hadn't intended it to be a two-week focus on the works of worship, but that's what it is. I have a tendency to seek to pack too much stuff into one message or teaching time. So the sheet that you've been given, hopefully you all had opportunity to receive that. The left-hand side is what we will focus on today, and then next week we will focus on the works of the Holy Spirit made as we make ourselves available through the labors of our intentionality to come and worship God, both this week and next. The scriptures for the day are cited from Matthew 1 and into Matthew chapter 2. I'll only be reading the portion from Matthew chapter 2. The portion of Matthew 1, the first 18, 17 verses, are the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus. It was important to Matthew as a devout Jew that everyone that would read his gospel would know that Jesus indeed was descendant through the lineage of Abraham, down through David, and bless you. And that indeed that was another sign of the fulfillment that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. When I mentioned to Pastor David this week the Matthew chapter 1 passage, I said, but I'm not going to stand there and read all that Solomon begat and Asaph begat, all those begats. And David said, well, you know what? I have a stole that someone from Mount Zion, when he pastored there, embroidered all those begats, all that lineage from God through Adam and Eve and on down through Jacob and Joseph. So I put this on symbolically as a sign that the begats are being lifted up in that lineage. And also, as you know, when we have a sacrament of communion or baptism, a lot of times I do bring a stole in and wear that as a reminder that God is present far beyond the individual or us gathered, that God has yoked us through the ages to the power of His Spirit and the promise of the risen Christ. So that I'll wear this stole during the baptism as well, as a sign of that. The passage actually comes from Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, a passage that we usually hear the end of the calendar year, the beginning of a new calendar year, as the Magi come to worship Jesus. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage, to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so has been written by the prophet, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And in verse 8, we hear a reflection of what was said by the Magi. Herod sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage, that I also may go and worship him." We have the same desire stated, the same word used, pay homage or worship, but two different people and two starkly different motivations, right? What was Herod's motivation to worship him? Herod was jealous. He wanted to protect his own being God of his own life. He wanted to find out what's really happening and hopefully wipe this Jesus off the face of the earth. The Magi, on the other hand, they had everything, and they were willing to travel long distance, risk their reputation, and give gifts that were finely appointed and highly valued in their culture. They saw worship and used the term worship as a true laying down their lives and paying homage and allowing this Messiah into their living. How do you use the term worship? I oftentimes joke and say we need to be practicing the discipline of worship. That's not a joke, but the joke is that I'm here because you pay me to be here. I have to show up, right? Do you think that I would be in worship if I weren't being compensated as your pastor? I was in worship long before. And worship is a discipline that is essential to draw me beyond my Herod self. But it takes work. It takes commitment. It takes decision ahead of time. Never forget John M. Matheson, pastor of Fraser Memorial United Methodist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, tells a story in an ice storm that they had in Montgomery. He looked out in the congregation and saw elderly lady there had some physical issues and movements and went out and said, I didn't think you'd decide to come here this morning after the ice storm we had. And she said, I didn't decide to come this morning. I decided the day I said I would join this church. Discipline in discipleship is part of a daily decision. There are works of worship. It takes work to worship. It takes work for, we have a young mom here in the front row, Renee, who has a handful of beautiful children gifted by God. I can't imagine the work it took to get here for worship. Seriously. When Joe Rebuck was alive and among us and in his wheelchair, but his body physically decimated by MS. And Gail, little Gail, his wife, would wheel him in week after week and bring him down and serve communion to him because he couldn't lift the cup. I can't imagine the work it took internally for Mr. Rebuck to get to the point where he's, I don't care what it looks like to others or what people think, I'm going to practice the discipline of worship. It takes our work to be available to the work of the Holy Spirit. John and Jen are probably sweating bullets, feeling like they're working like crazy, keeping at it. And, well, I guess, there's Paxton. I sort of lost track of him. They hosted me in their home a week or so ago as prep for this pre-baptism visit. And Addie, you were such a great hostess for me. Thank you. You were wonderful. And Paxton, this little boy is just like a motor that just keeps on going. Isn't it great we worship in a sanctuary and among a people that it's good to hear the noise of children? Amen. We don't get all worked up and bent out of shape, like, why aren't they sitting still or can't they? Where are you working to make yourself more available to the works of the Holy Spirit? We'll talk about those next week, but today I want to lift up some several truths. In your work of worship, God works in you. None of it comes back empty. The first thing I invite you to do along with me is to assess your availability. Are you available? Or does your schedule determine your availability to God's call? Will you read with me 1 Samuel chapter 3 and hear Samuel's words of availability to God? Will you join me? And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, your servant hears. Wow. As in other times, Samuel was accustomed to the reality that God calls us. And at this time, he didn't answer, haven't I said yes enough? Or didn't I do my service? Or I'm busy? He said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It might sound trite, but a daily discipline is attach it to the mirror where you brush your teeth or place it in your car near your speedometer, your dashboard. Well, most of you don't look at your speedometers because I see how you travel 581, so on your dashboard. But how could your day and my day be different if part of our morning discipline was, Lord, this day is gifted to you by you? Speak, your servant wants to hear you. Wow. To be positioned for response. Can you honestly ask yourself, do I hear God and how do I respond? Do I run like Jonah? You can run like Jonah, but guess who's running with you? Wherever you are, there you are. I can't get away from the Lord our God. He is there. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. But if you already think you know it all, do I already know it all? A little bit of German, Central PA Dutch stuff there. Do I know it all already? If you do, you're part of the masses of the arrogance that think they have God fully figured out. And that is a step to disaster, to destroying the kingdom that we're called to be building. And we do it at our own demise, too. Do I lash out at what God is saying? You know, in this day and age, we find a lot of people in the church, too, that say, well, Jesus may have said that, but I'm just going to set that teaching aside. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute. Yeah. Holiness, humility, righteousness, sacrifice, taking up your cross. Do we lash out at what Jesus calls us to hear? Do we dismiss it and say, well, the person delivering the message, whether the pastor or a teacher, well, they're just putting their own political or social views and mores in there. Or do we allow the words of Jesus to speak without us lashing out and confusing it through the filters of our own desires? Another way to be available is to live available by deciding daily to be present. God, I know you're with me. Speak. Help me to live a covenant. The covenant, next week we'll have about a dozen people join the faith community. And the covenant they make is by my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, my witness, I will seek to be a faithful member of the faith community and a disciple for Jesus. We're not making those promises in a vacuum. It's not just a human exercise. We're speaking those in the holiness of God, and it takes work because there are times when we don't feel like gathering for worship. That's why we have to make ourselves available by deciding today and every day. When we decide to be available, then one of the key aspects of worship comes into play, vulnerability. Now, this for all the tough men here, this is a time for you to really saddle up and be a real man. Get that? Be a real man and say, you know what? I'm gonna risk my heart. I'm not going to play the tough facade. I'm going to risk my heart. 2 Corinthians 6, hear what Paul says to the church then in Corinth and here in Mechanicsburg. Will you read it with me? We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your hearts. Who among us couldn't have our hearts expanded and widened a bit more? I love what Paul says to the church then and today. You're restricted not by us, but by your own hearts, what's going on inside of you. So can you join? I told someone after 8 o'clock, I never preach a message that God isn't preaching to me. So can you join me and one another in saying, do I face the depths of my heart in God's holy presence? You know, you can't hide anything from God. Psalmist says, wherever you go, there God is. You can't hide anything. You may think that you're the only one that knows the depths of the hurts or the anguish or the darkness or the brokenness, but God knows it. That great Gregorian prayer from the 9th century, it's a wonderful prayer for us to pray. And it gives us good reason to pray something beyond just our own words all the time. If you and I only pray the words that come out of us, we're partially captive to our own psyche, our own blindedness, and our own woundedness. We need each other and to hear each other's prayers. And sometimes we need to pray prayers that we didn't write, because it contains holy offerings that we wouldn't write. On your paper is that great prayer beyond our heart and mind to God's. Would you join me in that? This is from the 9th century. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. That prayer is saying, God, you know it all, and I'm giving it to you all, and I'm going to name it. And I'm going to give all of you, including the gentlemen, those of you that consider yourself the tough guys, I'm going to give you a discipline exercise that you can take home. Flip the back side there. I'm going to just offer a quick word. At the top of it, you'll see that there are some color coding. Now, you can choose to use the color code. You can change the color code. But the bottom line is, you in the privacy of your own prayer closet, your car, your office cubicle, outdoor patio chair, out in the woods by a stream, you can work through this, whoever you are. You can write down in greens thanksgivings that are in your heart. You can write down in reds the loves of your heart. Might be people, individuals, things, that which you like doing. You can write down in blue the hurts, the regrets, the disappointments. You can write down in brown or a different color you choose, losses of people, maybe lost dreams, lost years. You can write down the things you obsess about, that you're angry about, that you insist on your own opinion about. Anyone here struggle with any of that? Your opinion's the only opinion, you're waiting for the world to get in line? Or the things you obsess about? Pencil in a bunch of things, but you write those down. You allow that to be a discipline over an hour or over days or a week and fill that out. And you know who knows all that better than you do? God, your Father. and he still allows you and welcomes you and me in his presence. Now that's something to praise Jesus for. Wow. And then pray it out loud. Allow yourself to hear what you put there. Attend to that. And then pray that you'll be pliable to hear God. We sing a great praise song here. Sort of goes like this. See if I can be better on tune than the last service. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. You know that when we sing it? Here's my heart, Lord. Okay, let's quit. Because you know what continues then? Speak what is true. Oh, man, I hate when that happens. The work of worship is to open us up. Would you sing it with me? Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. You see, it takes work to make ourselves available to Christ. We don't save ourselves, but we participate in the ongoing perfection of Christ in us. And that leads our availability to our vulnerability and then ultimately our pliability. The Jeremiah passage that's listed there and projected is, who is the potter and who's the clay? And here's the wonderful gift of God's grace. Grace like rain. I'm going to save you and not try to sing that one. But the grace of God comes in all kinds of forms. The grace of God came through Addie when she welcomed me into her home, this little child offering hospitality. I walk away from those things, and my heart continues to be made pliable and malleable and surrenderable to the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants to do every time we gather for worship, that we be pliable. And when that happens, the works of the Holy Spirit are magnified in us, and we'll look at those next week. Right now, it's our privilege to participate in the covenant of God's baptismal promises. We can't control God's love. It flows where it desires to flow. But we are privileged participants in Paxton's baptism. I invite Jen and John and Addie. Paxton Ford, I invite the church to turn to page 39 in the hymnal. And as you face, just you can stand there and face the body forward. Page 39. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church and incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. We're given the promise of new birth through water and spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. John and Jen, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers that clearly are at work in this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, oppression, and whatever forms they show themselves? If so, say, I do. I do. Do you confess Jesus as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Jesus as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, I do. Will you nurture this child and continue nurturing Addie as you promised at her baptism in Christ's holy church, that through the works of worship and by your teaching and example, they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves and one day openly profess Jesus as Savior? If so, say, I will. Church, number 8. As the body of Christ, do you reaffirm your your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus? If so, say, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your ongoing care? In the baptism, it's a corporate worship act. We're not baptized individually and alone, and indeed, what a falsity it is to say, well, I decided to be baptized, or I chose, because those choosings are not possible without God's action of grace toward us first. Then we have the privilege of response. Come on up. You want to help me with the water? Yeah? Come on. Pick you up. Can you grab that? You want to use both hands? I got a hold of you. Go ahead. Whoa. Good job. Thank you. You want to touch it? Is it nice and cold or warm? Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this gift of water, that he who is marked in it is marked in the goodness of your love and the lifelong pursuit of the Holy Spirit to claim this child, this mind, this heart for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for water that cleanses, nourishes, cleans, and falls from heaven, grace like rain. In the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
What name is given this child?
Paxton Van.
Paxton Van. How you doing, buddy? Huh? Paxton Van. Check out Mom and Dad, Daddy. Paxton Van, I baptize you in the name of God the Father. In the name of God the Son, God's grace like rain. In the name of the Holy Spirit, God three in one. And God's people said,
Amen.
Lay your hands on them. You want to touch your brother? Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, you can do that. Paxton Van, having been born by water and spirit, nurtured in the water of a womb, may you now be birthed into this church. Imperfect as it is, but marked with God's holiness, that through all of us and through this mom and dad, Paxton will come to profess Jesus and love him with all his heart. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. This is Paxton Van. He is a special young man, and he's just full of energy and movement, and his eyes are all on you, aren't they? You know, that's how it is. Young eyes are on us, and the world has its ways of teaching these hearts and minds the way to go. I could go out there and show Paxton the way into Mechanicsburg Borough, the way over to the grocery stores we have here, the way to the local dirt tracks, which are many and very good, if you don't know that. I could show them the ways to good music. I could show them the Susquehanna River to kayak on. But who's going to show them Jesus? It's the church's job. In conjunction with this mom and dad. And I'm convinced if we're faithful to practice the presence, God will mold this heart to be attuned to the Spirit. Amen. And he's watching us. Worshiping with us for probably 4 years or so anyway, and it's a privilege to participate in this together, isn't it? And also, I just want to remind you that the baptismal blankets that we give symbolically represent in wombing this child who was birthed through the water of a womb, symbolically represents in wombing this child in the church, in the fabric of God's faithfulness for all the ages. Won't you affirm that? Mm-hmm. Thank you. Paxton, see you soon. Won't you rise as able as we sing of our availability, our vulnerability, and our pliability offered to God.
Speak to me, I come alive.
to life for you.